This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning, Tan Chen Li, and me, myself, and I, Philip C. It's now 7:35 in the morning, Wednesday, the 13th of April. One environment that is expected to heat up significantly will be the political climate in Australia, because our down under neighbours will be holding the elections on May 21st after a 6-week campaign period, with centre-right Prime Minister Scott Morrison hoping he will bring another come-from-behind victory.
Now, Morrison's Liberal National Coalition is currently trailing the opposition Labour Party in opinion polling, but he was in a similar position ahead of the 2019 election and narrowly won another term in office, saying then he always believed in miracles. So Scott Morrison is the first Australian leader to face two consecutive elections in almost 15 years after a decade of political chaos in the country, where prime ministers were regularly replaced by their own party over internal disputes.
However, with a rough start to the 2022 election campaign period, with several members of his own party in recent weeks publicly criticising him, can Morrison pull the rabbit out of the hat and secure another term with a bit of miracle?
To help us understand the dynamics of Australian politics, we have on the line Dr. Jill Shepherd from the School of Politics and International Relations at the Australian National University. Good morning, Dr. Jill. Some would say it would take a miracle for Prime Minister Morrison to retain his job, but based on polling data, he does really have a long hill to climb. Do you believe in miracles? Well, with respect to the context of the Australian election.
What a question. I don't believe in miracles generally. I'm not sure if Morrison's victory in this election would qualify necessarily as a miracle. We have had not a great track record of accurate political polling in Australia. The 2019 election very strongly predicted that Scott Morrison's Liberal government would lose, and of course they ended up holding power. We have had a fair bit of turmoil in Australian politics over the last 10 or so years. Scott Morrison is the first Prime Minister over that period to have not been removed by his own party as Prime Minister. And so he has that going for him. Now, what the opposition has going for them, the Labor Party, is that they are polling very well, and also that Scott Morrison hasn't had a great track record as Prime Minister. His colleagues like him, but voters aren't so sure about Scott Morrison. His COVID response was probably quite good, but just before we went into COVID lockdowns at the start of 2020, Scott Morrison had quite a bad response to a bushfire emergency that we'd had in Australia. So he's sort of had successes, but for every success, he's also had a corresponding failure.
So with the opposition focusing on employment and cost of living issues, what are the core issues at the heart of this election?
Now, our economic recovery after COVID has been quite good. So the opposition is trying to really minimise the distance between themselves and the government on things like cost of living, financial security, jobs and employment and growth coming out of COVID. The Liberal Party will try to emphasise national security. It will try to emphasise our role as a country in the Indo-Pacific region. As soon as voters are thinking about national security in Australia, they're more likely to vote for the Liberal Party, and so that benefits them. The Labor Party will talk about funding for aged care, funding for childcare, the sorts of health policies that generally get us thinking favourably towards the Labor Party. And so in a lot of ways, this looks like every Australian election, even though we are just coming out of a pandemic and there is a war in Ukraine, things in Australia have stayed pretty much the same as always.
And at the end of the day, are there very clear policy differences between the Nationals and Labor?
There are very few policy differences between the two major parties. Both parties really try to stay as close to the centre as possible, and they talk a lot about the areas in which there are differences. So for Labor, at the moment, that is around aged care, so nursing homes for our elderly parents and the kind of conditions in which they are run. For the Liberal Party, that will be about what they perceive to be the threat from China, whether in terms of national security, cyber security, access to intelligence, these sorts of issues. But for the most part, on issues like immigration, economic management, COVID policy, education, how we deal with the states in Victoria, because we have a federal system. These are all fairly similar kinds of policies between the two parties.
Jill, can you tell us a little bit about the Morrison's opponent, which is Anthony Albanese? Who is he? What is he like? And how different is he from Morrison?
Well, he's very similar to Scott Morrison in so many ways. They have quite different backgrounds, but they are both sort of middle-aged, white Australian men. They don't have any particularly interesting characteristics. They both are trying to portray themselves as what we call in Australia a safe pair of hands, that they are reliable, they won't do anything risky, they won't do anything controversial. We can trust them to manage the country in a way that doesn't make us too upset or too excited or too interested in politics. There is a saying in Australian politics that voters want to be relaxed and comfortable. And both Anthony Albanese and Scott Morrison, the current Prime Minister, are working very hard to ensure that they make us feel relaxed and comfortable.
Well, perhaps in this case here, then boring is good, because if I look at around the world, we're seeing elections where the far right, far left are emerging. And what I hear very distinctly different in Australia is that there's a fight for the centre. Why is it that Australia has been able to navigate and focus on this core centre ground, right, compared to what you see in the rest of the world?
A really interesting aspect of Australian politics is that we have compulsory voting. So everyone who is eligible, if they're a citizen aged 18 or over, has to enrol to vote, and then they have to turn out to vote. If we don't vote, we get fined $20. So when everyone has to vote, it means that everyone is a little bit interested, but more importantly, that the parties don't have to appeal too strongly to people on the at the ideological extremes. Everyone has to vote. We just vote for the party that makes us the least unhappy. Mm. And that means the parties can sit as close to the centre as physically possible. We are so boring in Australian politics. Nothing ever happens. We talk about turmoil, and it's just that one quite boring Prime Minister gets replaced by another quite boring Prime Minister, but we love it this way.
Now, let's take a look at the foreign relations. With respect to AUKUS, the Russian-Ukraine conflict as well as simmering tensions with China, how would you assess Prime Minister Morrison's foreign policy, and do you expect a shift if he secures another term?
The defining aspect of Australians' foreign policy problems over the last 10 years has been trying to straddle relations with China and the US. And AUKUS has put the Australian government fairly firmly in the camp of America and its allies. Now, this is probably the way that we were going to go anyway, but certainly AUKUS has made that very clear, particularly to China. What that does in the domestic political context for the Morrison government, it allows it to talk about national security, and it allows it to tell voters that it has taken finally a strong stance on the America versus China kind of debate without actually mentioning China. And that's really important because, you know, we do have a lot of Chinese nationals in Australia. We have a lot of first and second generation Chinese Australians who live here. And so it's a difficult sort of territory for a government to navigate here. Now, going forward, I think the government has made sure that it is, as I say, firmly in America's camp here. I think it will make ongoing relations with China quite icy, but you know, that may well be an issue for a future Labor government rather than Scott Morrison's government.
Okay, Jill, that sounds like you're expecting the opposition to win the elections this time round. Is that the case? Is Anthony Albanese going to be the next Prime Minister of Australia?
Now, I think the polls will get closer between now and election day. We have a 6-week campaign, which is very long by Australian standards. But it's probably quite difficult for Scott Morrison's government to hold on. Certainly at the moment, all signs point towards a Labor win. But it's probably 55% certainty of a Labor win. So it's still very close. I'm not going to make predictions.
That was Dr. Jill Shepherd from the School of Politics and International Relations at Australian National University talking about the huge dynamics taking place in Australia's elections. You know, just to set a baseline, 151 members of the House of Representatives, 76 seats held by the Liberal National Coalition and 69 seats by Labour. So the margins here are very thin.
Yeah, it might be a hung parliament and it might force a bit of a coalition government, which sounds like almost every country in the world, including ours, right? Where nobody wins a clear majority anymore.
I think the poll right now is between the Liberal and the National Coalition is 53% to 47%, and it will equal to an 11 seat loss if this is this poll replicates
an 11 seat loss is considered seismic for Australian standards, I have to say. But it goes to show, really, when we asked Jill what was the difference between both of the politicians, and her answer was very simple: nada.
Yeah, they were just both white men.
Yes. And perhaps I think this is a question about centre-ground politics, right, where even small changes in margins make a huge difference to electoral outcomes.
Yeah, but Australia is unique in the sense that because it forces everyone to vote, right, it's compulsory voting, then political parties actually, to win votes, move to the centre rather than to the fringes, right? Yeah. And Australians like boring elections. Jill said they want a relaxed and comfortable elections.
Well, I wish we had that situation as well in Malaysia. I think the issue here is we would like a bit more calm and peace here.
But it's always very exciting here.
We've had a tumultuous, is that the right word?
Tumultuous.
Yeah, 3 years since Lanka Sheraton adding on, of course, we've had the COVID-19 crisis. We haven't had a moment of calm in a while.
It's been a long and winding road.
And guess what? Looks like GE15 might be here sooner than later.
For sure. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.